Thank you for your tweets this morning. I'm a regular user of Twitter. I use Twitter to explain to those who've graciously decided to follow me what I'm going to be doing on the air at any given moment. And it's lovely to hear from you, Philip. Thank you for your tweet. Sharon, nice to know that you've been listening in as well. You'll find me on Twitter at Jim Davis on Air. A big moment, really, for the social media platform because the world's richest man, Elon Musk, has finally completed his £44 billion takeover of Twitter. Astonishing amount of money, that, isn't it? He tweeted, "The bird is freed," this morning in an apparent reference to the deal closing. It's reported a number of top executives, including the boss, have been fired. Twitter hasn't yet confirmed the takeover, but an early investor in the company told the BBC that the deal has now gone ahead. Fevzi Turklap is a technology expert and, of course, the gadget detective, and can tell us more. Fevzi, good morning to you.
Morning.
Morning. I mean, this is a big moment, isn't it, in terms of Twitter's history?
It's a big moment for Twitter. Could be a big moment in social media. People at Meta and other social media sites will be wondering whether they've got a newly invigorated competitor now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. £44 billion then spent by Elon Musk on Twitter. That's an astonishing amount of money. Is it worth it, do you think?
I think it probably is to him, although he did bulk at the price and there were various shenanigans since the springtime, I think designed to try and get it cheaper, but he found himself in a lawsuit and backed down and bought it. I mean, it is bizarre that he had to be sued to make him buy the thing that he'd promised to buy, and now the people that sued him to make him buy it have been sacked by him. Mm. Now he's bought it. So it's rather strange. But I think, look, other than all this about him being a free speech absolutist and possibly letting Donald Trump back on Twitter and all the rest of that, the fact is that Elon Musk has spoken about creating something called an everything app, called X, like a super app. Think of something that is, a combination of Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, and PayPal with a payment thing. All those things. So they have these sorts of super apps in China, things like WeChat and Grab. And because these super apps do everything, people spend all their time inside them, which is highly profitable. So he's talking about creating that, and buying Twitter puts him maybe 3 to 5 years closer to achieving that, which is important because you've already got companies like Facebook/Meta trying to create what they're calling the metaverse. So,
which is costing them a fortune, isn't it? I mean, in terms of outlay, it's beset with technological issues. And indeed, investors in Meta are saying, you've got to pull the plug on this because it's never going to work. But they seem determined, don't they? And Zuckerberg is absolutely pursuing this relentlessly.
Yeah, and it's still about a quarter of their income. But yeah, I think about $24 billion in the last year. Absolutely. But that's why there is an urgency, and that's why it's worth the sum of money to Elon Musk that he paid for it, is because it puts him years closer. Because if he's 3 to 5 years further back, Meta will have it sewn up before that.
I do wonder, Fevzi, whether, I mean, real people understand what people like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are trying to achieve with Meta, and indeed Elon Musk buying Twitter for £44 billion. To most people, Twitter is just a relatively frustrating or even sometimes annoying social media platform by which people vent their anguish at whatever particular issue, and it all descends into a row and things go viral and people get cancelled, and it can be quite a toxic environment. How is he looking to use that platform to build something that we're all going to be so totally reliant upon in the future? What does that future look like?
Well, Twitter, for all its faults, has got a user base somewhere in the region of 200 million people. Elon Musk has spoken about turning that 200 million into a billion. I think what's at stake here is that at the moment, the internet is something that we look at and participate in through screens, be it smartphone or tablet or laptops, what have you. The next generation of the internet, which, Meta will call the metaverse, is a more immersive experience, and it's one that we actually live within. Mm-hmm. And as as it becomes the case that it can do more and more, we will spend more and more time there. We'll work within it. We'll do our recreation within it. We'll do everything within it. So what's at stake here is who owns the virtual worlds in which we will live in going forwards.
And are we talking here about things like virtual reality and augmented reality? Because there are differences even there, aren't there?
Yeah, and it will be some sort of mixture with it. But I suppose the key takeaway for this is that it's immersive. We are within it, and it is around us, rather than us peering into it through glass screens and windows.
That difference is challenging because, of course, at the moment, to enter a virtual reality world, you have to place a headset on, which has sort of headphones attached to it, and then you're surrounded by a computer-generated imagery, which you can look up and down and around within. But, of course, it has a rather clunky headset on it versus the augmented reality world, where you sort of slide on a pair of glasses, which many of us do anyway, and then within those glasses is a screen that's flashing up information, the latest tweets, directions on where you want to go. You can pay for things by looking at the contactless payment screen, that kind of thing. This is the future we're heading towards, isn't it?
Absolutely. And don't forget that Meta own Oculus, who produce the world's most successful VR headsets. And you're right, these things are big and clunky and heavy and unwieldy. I invite you to reflect upon what the internet used to be like with dial-up modems. When people, if you want to see about how it was clunky and how far removed that old image was of, people sitting around a machine trying to send an email, something that was virtually steam powered to what we have now.
Now you can do it in a flash, sitting on the tube, pulling into a station on the London Underground and flip off an email or a tweet as you log into the Wi-Fi at Victoria Station. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, how that has come forward. Nevertheless, I still think people think Twitter is a place where people like Piers Morgan rant. How can that actually become something where a billion people interact on a daily basis to come?
I think Twitter is in line for some. I mean, it could all fall flat, couldn't it? But I think the fact is Twitter is going to be shaken up now. It's going to be run as a very different company. In effect, what he's bought is a user base and an opportunity to keep that user base and grow upon it. He's going to keep his engineers. He's talking, there's been reports of 50%, even 75% of the existing staff going. So, most of it will go, and he'll just use it to build upon.
Well, he's now chief twit, as he describes himself, and the bird has been freed, as he tweeted this morning. So he clearly has plans, doesn't he, Fepsy? We'll have to wait and see whether they come to fruition. But thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Fepsy Turklat there, the gadget detective. Look him up on Twitter.